What is the role of Jesus among his people, his present role?
He was delivered up for their sins and was raised from the dead for the justification, as stated in Romans 4:25. What's he doing now? He took away the sins of the world, destroyed the devil, and plundered principalities and powers in his death. What's he doing in his life, his resurrection life? He's reconciled us to God, made peace through the blood of his cross, and ended the law as a means for righteousness. What is he doing now? How are the people of God who are justified to regard him now that he's seated at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens? Those are some things I will consider in this message, Jesus, the commander of the people. My text is found in Isaiah 55, verses 3 and 4, an ancient prophecy of the coming of the Savior. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. First, let me establish that this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that the prelude to this promise regards God making an everlasting covenant with the people, even the sure mercies of David. That is, we're speaking of a temporal relationship or of a covenant that was replaced as the old covenant was. The sure mercies of David are the faithful promises of a glorified king that would sit upon David's throne dispensing mercy and grace. The promise of those mercies is stated in Psalm 89:28, a word God promised to David. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. The Lord continues in verse 35 through 37. Once have I sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and his faithful witness in heaven. Selah. Now these sure mercies are specifically related to Jesus Christ by James in Acts 13:34. He associates them with the resurrection of Christ. Here's what he said. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. In addition, the covenant that Jesus is presently ministering is referred to as an everlasting covenant, just as Isaiah said. It's stated in Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our text then is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it for you again, this time from the Amplified Bible. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hearing your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Behold, I've appointed him, the Messiah himself, to be a witness, one who shall testify of salvation to the nations, a prince and a commander to the peoples. Notice that we're speaking of Jesus as God has given him to the people. God has given Jesus to the people as a witness, a prince, and a commander. As a witness, he comes to teach us, revealing God and his will. As a prince or leader, he comes to feed and lead us as a captain, leading us as pilgrims through the world and engaging us in the good fight of faith. As a commander, he comes to command us concerning the way in which we're to go and what we're to do. He will faithfully report to us what God has said and determined, even as Moses rehearsed all that God had said to Israel. He will lead us from earth to glory like Moses led Israel from Egypt to Canaan. He will take the word and commandments of Almighty God and give them to us like Moses received the law from God and gave it to the people. Jesus is God's witness to the people. He's God's appointed leader to bring them to glory. And he's God's commander through whom the will of the Lord is made known and the directions are given. Now let's be clear about this. If Jesus does not witness to you, it's not possible for you to come to understand either God or his will. If he does not lead you, it's not possible for you at last to land in heaven and be with the Lord forever and ever. If he does not command you, it's not possible for you to maintain a proper life or be ultimately pleasing to God. God has not given Jesus to the people to help them to do their worldly will. He's not given him to assist them in realizing their dreams and reaching the goals they've established for themselves. His aim in giving Jesus to the people is not to establish the home or secure the government or make sure they realize success in the world. Whatever may be said in defense of those things are not why God has given Jesus to the people. We know this is the case because life in this world can be impressive and temporarily successful without Jesus. When God gave Jesus to the people as a witness and as a leader and as a commander, he had in mind to ready them for the time when the heavens and earth will pass away, the time when Jesus will come in all of his glory, the time when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Jesus witnesses with that time in mind. He leads the people in view of that time. He commands the people in order to ready them for that time. Take eternity out of the picture. And there's no reason for Jesus. Think only in terms of this present world and life in the body, and there's no point to Jesus at all. That's precisely why those who become immersed in the affairs of this world neglect Jesus. The closer we are to the world, the further we are from Jesus. Now let me fasten on this word commander. God has given Jesus to the people as a commander. The very term is abrasive to those who live only for themselves. Such people prefer to think in terms of freedom of choice, the right to do what they want and finding a way to fulfill their own will. But Jesus has been given to them as a commander. He does not come to make suggestions or to give advice. God has not given him to assist us in fulfilling our dreams or to make our plans and purposes succeed. He's the commander. And how does God regard those who do not give heed to Jesus, who pay no heed to his commands? Here's the testimony of Peter on the subject. He's referring to a statement made by Moses concerning Jesus being given to the people. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Acts 3:22-23. There you have it. God has issued an ultimatum. Hear Jesus in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And what if a person chooses to ignore that word? What if they entertain no prevailing interest in what Jesus is saying or what he's commanding? How will God interpret that? He states that every soul that refuses to hear Jesus will be destroyed from among the people. That is, that person will no longer be identified with the people who are being led by Jesus. He'll be eliminated from the people like the unbelieving Israelites were eliminated in the wilderness. Those people got safely out of Egypt. They safely crossed the Red Sea. They drank miraculous water that flowed from a rock, and they ate miraculous bread from heaven, but they did not give heed to their commander, and so they were eliminated from the people. They did not get into the promised land and had no inheritance in it. And why was that? Simply because they did not give heed to their commander. Now God has given Jesus to the people as a commander. He's also told the people that if they do not give heed to him, they will be destroyed from among the people. Or as the NIV reads, completely cut off from among the people. You see, God honors Jesus above all others and has exalted his name above every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. What a reproach to Jesus it would be if God received somebody who did not listen to his son, whom he's given to the people to be a commander. Now I will tell you that the very first impression those who knowingly confront Jesus have is that he's a commander. When Saul of Tarsus confronted Jesus and knew that he was doing so, he saw him as a commander. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9:6. See, he knew that he's a commander. When he appears again the second time, everybody will know he's a commander. Those who have believed on him will be glad, for they already know everything is subject to him and have adjusted their lives in order to confront him in that capacity. His enemies will know that he's the commander and will cry out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 6:16. They'll know it's futile to engage in any effort or initiative against the commander. I know that many people never think of Jesus as a commander, someone who tells them what to do and who they must follow. They like to think of Jesus as a friend or a helper or someone who understands how they feel. I do not deny that there is a sense in which Jesus is all of these things, but they come after him being honored as a commander that has to be given to the people. That is, this is how God has given him, and that is how he's to be received, as a commander. He'll listen, but he comes to command. God has given him to the people as the commander. The word commander means someone who's in charge and has been given to set things in order. His commandments are not just suggestions, but they're designed to get the people into the right position so they can be led to glory. God has already said that anyone who does not hear or listen to Jesus will be cut out of the people. I realize that it may be easy for some people to say they received Jesus as Lord, whatever that means. But are they listening to the commander? It's possible that some do not even know what he's commanded. Perhaps a brief refresher on what he's commanded or required will serve to clarify your position. Here are some words from the commander. There are commands he gave relating to preparing for his return. Watch ye, therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Mark 13:35-37. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeit and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Luke 21:33-34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And be ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Luke 12:34-36. Have you taken those words seriously? If not, do you not fall into the category of those who have not given heed to the commander that God has given to the people? Here's a commandment of Jesus concerning our attitude toward possessions. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. To those who are prone to fret about the necessities of life, Jesus commanded, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Matthew 6:25-26. Have you taken those words seriously? Or are you lending your ears to those religious merchants who are saying poverty is a curse and God wants you to be rich in world's goods? Are you listening to Jesus? God has already revealed what will ultimately happen to those who do not. Are you naive about religious teachers? Here are some commandments Jesus gave concerning how you're to think on the subject. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Matthew 7:15. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Mark 13:5. Mark 4:24 says, take heed what ye hear. Luke 8:18 says, take heed how you hear. Do you imagine that you can expose your mind to all kinds of things that are being said in the name of Jesus without trying the spirits to see whether they're from God or not? Something we're exhorted to do in 1 John 4:1. Is it possible that a person can think they have heard the truth, embrace it as though it is the truth, and yet be totally wrong? Jesus indicated this was possible and commanded us to see that this condition was not found in us. Here are his words. Take heed, therefore, that the light that is in you be not darkness. Luke 11:35. How about something practical, like someone sinning against you? Did Jesus give a commandment concerning something like that? Indeed, he did. Here it is. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Luke 17:3-4. Listener, I've given you a few select words from the commander, the one God has given to us in the capacity of the commander. You may be sure that our commander comes with some commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. He also said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. John 14:21. He also promised, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. John 15:10. There you have it, listener. And there is something to think about.